You're listening to The Impulse Project, featuring music from the demo scene and the tracking community. Welcome back to The Impulse Project, featuring music from the demo scene and the tracking community. Today, hosting the show is myself, Brian, and Ed.
How's it going?
That track that brought us in was called Cortex, and it's composed by Reflex, and it's a 4-channel mod file at 32K.
I really like that one. I love that kind of echoey snare sample in there. It's so bouncy and fun.
Yeah, wasn't that a fun track? Like, there's something about it, and inside the internal text, in the instrument text, it says, you know, Reflex, don't worry, it was done in a hurry, it should have been named Turatune, but who cares? And it's funny that it says that, because this track really kind of sounds like Turrican.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I didn't even think about that, but yeah.
Yeah, it's really got that kind of bouncy, like, energetic, you know, Amiga video game vibe, and it's a fun track. I can listen to this over and over. In fact, I have pretty much the last week. I've just kind of had this on, you know, repeat over and over. So
it's funny how much influence Chris Hulsbeck had on so many chiptuners out there. You know, it's like almost every single person can draw a little bit of inspiration from his works at some point.
Right. And Turrican, I think, was that 89, 88?
I think the earliest was 88. Yeah. Don't quote me on that, though.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
But it was around that era.
Yeah, this track was released in 1991, so it would make sense if it was kind of like a take on that, I guess.
Sure, height of its popularity, I'm sure.
Right, and so anyways, Reflex, he's a composer from France. He's a French composer, and he's part of a few different groups. He's done stuff for Crystal and The Rebels, and he's still doing stuff today, I believe. There's some mod files floating around the internet. I think they're pretty recent. I can't think of a track offhand that he's done, but he's a great composer. There's a lot of really good stuff by him.
I really like that these guys kind of keep with it. You know, it's like, I'm sure they have side careers and jobs and whatever, but their hobby has always been recording music, and it's amazing to see a lot of these guys
right.
And how much they've improved and honed their skills over like the past 15, 20 years even that they've been doing this stuff.
I know, and especially because they're using a lot of the same hardware. I mean, some of these guys, they started out on, you know, Pro Tracker, or, you know, some of the really early, like, you know, Impulse Tracker or something like that, and they've just kind of stuck with it, and they're using the same hardware that they did years ago. I mean, granted, now there is stuff like Renoise that people are, you know, kind of discovering and, you know, using now for a little bit more modern take, but I think that a lot of these composers are still using their older stuff.
Oh, yeah, I think they just enjoy the limitations of the hardware. I mean, sometimes that makes you even more creative than you'd be if you had, you know, unlimited resources to do your work.
Right. Well, we have another track. Actually, we have a few more tracks to play today. Kind of up the ante a little bit. So what do you got next for us?
Ooh, let's see. This one's called Ice Cream Orchards by Epi and Go Luigi.
Thank you.
right, we're back. That was Ice Cream Orchards from EP or IP or I don't know, IPI, and Go Luigi, and that's a relatively recent track that was composed in 2013.
Yeah, 2013, man.
But man, such a breezy, summery track.
Yeah, no, it's funny because I was thinking when we were listening, I was like, oh man, like I could imagine myself holding a baby penguin, sliding down an ice chute. It just fit. It had that really winter wonderland kind of thing going on. I like it.
I kind of imagine maybe the ending of Outrun.
Oh, there you go.
The Ferrari's driving into the sunset. Like it has that kind of a vibe to it.
Yeah, there's a few little licks in there that I just, oh man, I want to put it on repeat. It's only maybe 16 clicks or something like that, but it's so cool. Really good track.
Yeah, lots of little after touches on the main lead. You hear little echoes that kind of pan from speaker to speaker, and little fun finesses here and there. Really, this guy really has some skill.
Yeah, and it's only 12K. I mean, it's crazy. It's pretty impressive. 19 channels.
Yeah, and there seems to be more than five or six different instruments in there too. So.
Oh yeah, I think just kind of looking around in the IT file itself, there's at least I think 12, 13, something like that.
That's crazy. So yeah. That's like what, an average of 1 kilobyte per instrument? That's
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah, the samples are all really short, so maybe that's why, but just looking at the pattern itself, it's just like, oh my God, there's so much going on here, so much detail. Everything, you know, his volume changes. If you look at the volume lines, there's so much dynamic volume going on in this track. And as well as the effects line, he's got tons of different panning and stuff going on. It's really well thought out, really complex. I like it.
So EP's been making music since about 2006, 2007. Started off with MIDI and doing some NSF, NES chiptunes and stuff. He's completely self-taught, which is awesome because this track definitely has some chops. And so he says his career path, he wants to be a games programmer. So definitely inspired by VGM.
Oh, yeah. Now, do you know when he started doing work?
Yeah, he said 2006 he started doing MIDI.
Okay, I see.
And then he did some NSF stuff, but then he really kind of fell in love with mod files and then started using trackers after that.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
So, Go Luigi is known as Golgi, G-O-L-G-I, or Golgi Apparatus. And,
okay.
he just likes songs. He doesn't have too much in his bio. He's just like, I really like stuff.
I just like songs. Well, that's what we're doing this podcast. We just like songs. But you
he's
know,
like, I like songs, so I make songs. I'm like, okay, make it sound easy. That's cool.
Oh, I love it. That's awesome. All right. Well, hey, are you ready to move on to the next track?
Absolutely. I can't wait to hear what's next.
Cool. I'm going to play a track from XTD, and it's called Seeker. So let's listen to that, and we'll be right back.
Right on. Thank you.
All right, you just heard Seeker, composed by XTD when he was in the group Union. It's a 4-channel mod file at 26K. Love this track. Can't get enough of it.
Yeah, I kind of feel the name of this track. You know, like Seeker, it feels like it's like hunting something. Like I had a real, like we were talking during the, while we were listening to the song, part of it feels like Castlevania, like you're like hunting monsters or something. It's just so cool.
Yeah, there's something about it too that it kind of harkens back to like NES chiptunes and stuff like that. It's really kind of simple, but he's doing this amazing like panning job with the Amiga hardware. And just this track, when I first heard it, I don't know how long it's been, but it always kind of stuck with me because it sounds like it should be in a game. And it's really like, you know, like you said, seeking something. It's really kind of like pushing forward, and it's just got this really awesome momentum the whole way through. And that ending, man, oh, so good.
Yeah, and it even like it's even supposed to go into a loop, but it could end cold right there, and it would be totally awesome.
Right.
But I love those little like arpeggios. Like his arpeggio work is amazing because right. You have like the real steady ones that come in at first, but then right. When that Castlevania part comes in, the other ones start kind of like pulsing in the left speaker, and it just sounds so perfect with that solo that comes in after that.
Yeah, that's definitely my favorite part. I love how they come in and see. Sometimes it's overused. Sometimes those arps are overused, and they're too I guess too strong for the whole track, and they kind of leave you with that. That like your brain is a little bit kind of like vibrating, but this, it does it in a very kind of passive way that makes you want to like listen to the next, you know, that next change, that next rhythm change. And I don't know, it's just a rad track. Not very long either.
Yeah, it's one of those you know, songs where the arps kind of enhance the track rather than drive the track. So
right. So this was a track that was composed in 1993, and he's been an active composer since 1992 all the way up until about 2000. He's been in a few different demo groups. There is Union, obviously, when he was doing this one. There's Suspect, Mystic, Action Direct, and there's also TriStar and Red Sector Inc., which is TRSI. And he's just done a ton of stuff. Like, if you look at Mod Archive, there's 400 different mod files that are listed under him. I mean, he has a ton of stuff. And
that's insane.
Yeah, and you can go through it, and literally everything that you'll find is going to be something that's pretty good. He doesn't really have any duds. They're all really good tracks.
So he's got 400 mods in 8 years, so that equals about one track a week that he's launched for 4 years straight. That's insane.
That's insane. And that's like definitely a talent that I will never possess, but... You know, I don't know what they're feeding them in Poland, where this guy's from, but, you know, it's...
Lots of pierogies.
No, it was a great track, and we'll definitely be hearing more from XTD on, you know, future episodes, because he just has so much great stuff, and really, one of my favorite composers... You know, I say that a lot. You know, there's a lot of composers that are my favorite composers, but he's definitely one that you can keep your eye on, because his tracks are phenomenal, and... We just got tons of stuff lined up.
Yeah, this guy's new to me, but I'm definitely going to seek out more of his stuff.
I see what you did there.
Right? Little pun? Okay.
Anyways, what do we got next?
We're going to move on to my favorite of the show. This one is called Crack Chip by E. Corin, who now goes by Beyond. All right, we are back, and that one was called Crack Chip. Did I get that right? Crack Chip?
I think so. Yeah.
Didn't even sounds good.
Sounds good to me. It's close enough. No, that was like I was telling you, this is maybe one of my favorite picks that you've had. It's just a track that man, I have listened to this over and over now. I've never heard of this artist, totally new to me, but it's just a great track.
Yeah, it's gotten under my skin. That keyboard melody is so catchy. I just find myself whistling it all day. And so this guy, Ikorin, is relatively new. He uses OpenMPT to compose, and he's also goes by the name Beyond. I guess he started off as Ikorin, and then now he calls himself Beyond. So you'll see tracks from him under both names, but it's all the same guy.
Okay.
And so this is a 8-channel IT file, 214 kilobytes, which I'd say that sounds about right, because he's got a lot of different sounds in here.
Sounds about right. I mean, a lot of the guys who are like newer composers, they don't really care about file size so much anymore. You know, it's not a requirement anymore unless they're in some kind of competition. So they can kind of do whatever they want. There's samples, I'm sure, that, you know, they don't even need to use, but they'll throw it in just in case, and they'll maybe take it out last minute or leave it in. It doesn't really matter anymore. You know, our bandwidth isn't a big thing. So being able to create kind of your own file sizes is a thing of the past, I guess.
Right, and you weren't trying to, you know, cram your song and a demo onto a floppy disk to be able to distribute it out, so, you know, you don't have that space constraint either.
Right. I totally love this track, though. I mean, it's something weird to me because, you know, it's a more modern chiptune, but at the same time, I think it retains a lot of what I like about the older style stuff, like from the late 80s, early 90s. It, even though it's, you know, it's 8 channels, it just feels like there is, I guess, like a lot of layers built on top of it. It's like you take some of those really old, like, you know, 2-channel, 4-channel mod files, and then you just throw extra layers and it creates something like this. That's kind of what I'm getting out of it.
Yeah, as long as it's tastefully done, I mean, it really helps enhance it. And, you know, I did feel like, I was telling you before, I felt a little bit of like a Streets of Rage, Yuzo Koshiro style
right.
influence in this song as well. It kind of got that feel to it. So, you know, influences don't always come from the mod trackers or mod chip sceners. You know, sometimes right. they come from actual video game music as well.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny because we were looking at the samples together, and there's a bunch of different bass drum and snare and kicks that he does, and there's a reverse bass drum. And I was looking all over the IT file itself, and I couldn't find it anywhere. And as you were talking just now, I spotted it. And so what he's doing is he's using the bass or the kick drum normally, and then he's doing reverse right after that, and then he's going right back in with the kick drum. And I think that creates this really weird kind of like, almost like a DJ on a scratch pad kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, or almost like a cavernous echo behind it as well. Yeah, that's cool.
Really cool. That's a good pick, dude.
Thank you. Glad you enjoyed it. I hope everyone else did too.
Yeah, so are we going to move on to my next track?
I guess I'll allow it.
All right. Do you got anything else on Ikorin?
Other than the fact that, you know, he's got about 100 tracks that I can tell floating around on the web, so I'm looking forward to checking out some of this guy's new stuff too. But that's about all I got on him.
This is the first time I'd heard of him, so I'm definitely going to have to check out some of his stuff as well.
So I'm going to play another track called Frigid Ridge, and this one is by Engine, Mooncell, and Scene Music. And considering, you know, we're releasing this podcast in January, I figure a nice little wintry track would be good to go with.
Let's hit it.
Thank you. And we're back. That one was called Frigid Ridge, and kind of a short loop, but still a heck of a lot of fun. That one was composed by Engine, Mooncell, and Scene Music, and it was made for www.serer.tk, which doesn't exist anymore, but that's what's in the notes.
Yeah, there's a ton of different files you'll find out there that have serer.tk, you know, kind of baked into the instrument text. But yeah, it's obviously it's not around anymore, so there's not much information we could dig up now, unless it's, I guess maybe if we do the Wayback Machine or something, we can find some stuff. But
oh yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, but no, rad track though.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I like that really thick bass groove. That's a lot of fun to listen to.
Yeah, I know. It was pretty wild. I mean, it's weird because 28 channels on this IT file, but only a few, like, there's a few that aren't even used. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like it left 7 channels just blank. I think it only, 21 was as far as we could see that actually has any information on it.
Yeah, but, you know, a lot of it, too, is, you know, a lot of the trackers require that you did stuff in pairs. So, you know, if you wanted a 7-channel file, it was actually going to be 8, and you had to, you know, append that extra one on because it only did stuff in pairs, but for whatever reason, he left him in, and he was like, okay, whatever, I just don't care. Maybe he had planned for, you know, adding on to this later down the road, but it was a cool track. I liked it a lot. Good pick.
Thank you. Yeah, well, there were 3 composers on it, so maybe stuff got added and some got, or, you know, they spaced their parts out so that they could organize it better while they were,
you know,
sharing it between them.
That makes a lot of sense, actually, because, you know, you think about 3 composers, maybe they said, oh, we're going to start it out as 28 channels, and, you know, you can work on these channels, or we'll work on these, and we'll work on these, and we'll leave some leftover in case we want to kind of, you know, append to that, but they just either never did or they figured it was done. So that was a cool track. Where'd you find this?
You know, it was in a large torrent that I got from the Mod Archive of everything that was uploaded to that site in the year 2013. And it was just kind of sitting in there, and I just randomly listened to it one day, and I was like, I really like this one. So
yeah,
decided I'd share it.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I think that, you know, it's funny. There's not a lot of video game music that has, like, kind of wintry songs other than, you know, your standard ice levels and stuff like that. But in, like, demo scene music, especially in demo scene music and, like, tracking and stuff, there's a lot of, like, Christmas tunes, like, a lot of, like, New Year's tracks, a lot of, you know, icy, kind of wintry, atmospheric tracks. And I never really could figure out why, but I guess that makes sense because, you know, all these composers wanted to do, like, you know, these kind of wintertime tracks, but there was no place to set that in a game. Like, you can't, how many, you know, Christmas songs can you put in a video game that, you know, has to appeal to the masses, right? So,
right.
Kind of makes sense, but not.
And there were a lot of, you know, Christmas-themed visual demos done, too. I remember seeing, like,
oh, yeah,
you know, ornaments and Christmas trees twisting around, and I think even the Super Nintendo had a few Christmas demos written for it.
Right,
so it was
right.
Just kind of a good theme, just a good happy theme to for people to focus on when they're making scene demos.
Yeah, no, I was thinking if we were gonna record originally with James earlier, but I thought if we did that, maybe we could throw some Christmas tracks in, hit right before the holidays, but, you know, didn't happen, so maybe we'll save all that stuff for next year.
Yeah, we'll just sit on it for a long, long time.
Well, you know, it's been kind of sitting on the hard drive for, you know, the last 15, 20 years anyway, so it can...
What's another year,
right? Anyways, let's get into our last track, and this is actually a track that I picked out. I love this track, and I don't know how I found it either. It's called... Oh, man. I'm going to totally brutalize this name. It's Adengren Clementin.
That works for me.
You want to go with that? All right, it's an XM file, 13K, 4 channels. Let's check it out.
Enjoy.
That was Adengren Clementin. It's an XM file that's 13K, 4 channels, and fell in love with this track. I can't help but think that I've heard this. It's just got this tune is, like, it's really catchy, and I I just feel like I know this from something. It's got to be coming from, I don't know, some other outside influence. I can't pinpoint it.
Yeah, it doesn't really sound too familiar to me, but I did hear a lot of like a Barry Leitch, like Top Gear style, especially right. like pattern, like 4, 5, and 6 around there sounds a lot like him.
Yeah, you know, it's there's this little breakdown part in there where it's like kind of this like bleep, 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 bleep. You know that part?
Yep.
He's doing something really, really interesting with the effects, and he, like how he pans it and how he changed the volume. He basically ramps the volume way, way down so it like clips and then it kind of plays again for a quick second. It's really, really clever. And I think that that part of it just, I don't know, gives me chills. Can't stop listening to that part over and over. It's like, I think it's like pattern 7, around 7 or 8. But I heard this track recently and I want to say within the last month and I fell in love with it. I was like, this has got to be on an episode.
Yeah, this dude Algar definitely has some talent. So he's like he plays like live shows and stuff now, right?
Yeah, yeah. I know he's really big. He's a Swedish chiptune artist, and he's been doing all sorts of tracker work since the year 2000, and he's still active. You can find stuff on SoundCloud, Spotify, Bandcamp, and YouTube, and we'll put links in the show notes. But no, the guy's got a ton of talent, and he did this I think around the time. According to the instrument text, he was part of the group TJC, and that stands for the Jungle Command. And you might know the Jungle Command from a few different other really well-known composers. There's Ron Claren, who is a member of Jungle Command, and he did the stuff for Battle Squadron, really, really famous Amiga chiptunes. And there's also Karsten Oborski, the original creator of Ultimate Sound Tracker, which was the first tracker software on the Amiga. So,
oh, the grandpappy of mods.
Yeah, so he's in good company, you know? Like, this is like a really well-known kind of group for these really powerhouse composers, and these tracks that he's done are phenomenal, and this is like no exception. It's short, but it's definitely a great track.
Yeah, well, it just goes to show you, I mean, it had that much impact on you, yet it's only, you know, like 30 seconds or something,
right?
So he packs all that awesomeness into one, you know, tiny little package, and it's really cool.
You know, it's funny because the first part of it, you know, like I remember hearing it, and it's gonna that don't, and at first I was like, oh, whatever, like what are they gonna do with this, you know?
It's kind of generic. Yeah,
it feels really generic, and then like that lead picks up and it kind of just like spins off into this really wild little short kind of demo scene intro. Well, I guess it is the demo scene. It's really like, you know, tight, compact intro, and I think that's really cool. I mean, it clearly was meant to be this really like short, you know, demo product, and I think this is a really good example of that.
Yeah, it's the keyboard leads have always obviously been like the strength of a lot of these demo scene songs. So, you know, background music in these tracks, a lot of them do sound very much the same, but it's like it's all down to that melody that's in the foreground and those really rocking solos that a lot of people just are so excellent at performing. And I think that's, you know, where a lot of these demo scene songs really have their strengths is in those, like even with Crack Chip, where I was just, you know, can't stop whistling it. Same thing with this. It's just, if you have the talent to create one of those melodies that gets under your skin, then you're going to be successful as a chiptune artist, and people are going to still remember your stuff, you know, 10, 20, 30 years later.
Oh, big time. I mean, I can't even begin to tell you how many tracks that I am absolutely in love with that are shorter than 30 seconds. And I would listen to like some of these tracks on repeat and repeat and repeat, and I wouldn't get sick of them because it just had the catchiest little melody within, you know, one pattern. It's really just amazing how these guys can utilize the hardware and create something so fantastic out of just, you know, 4 channels or 2 channels.
Absolutely. And we are just getting started with all of these chiptune songs. There's like a gazillion more to go through as Impulse Project goes on.
Yeah. So anyways, you know, that's another show in the bag. You know, had a lot of fun. We played a lot of stuff today. We added a little bit more to the mix. We played 6 tracks instead of 4. And, you know, that may fluctuate. It may, you know, be more, maybe less. It just kind of depends on our mood and what we want to play. But Ed, thanks a lot for coming on again, and really appreciate it. It's great having you on, and, you know, being on future episodes, of course, it's, you know, appreciated, and you have a lot to bring to the table, so.
Absolutely, Brian, I'm having a blast. I'm so glad that you created this show, because it's not only introducing me to a whole bunch of really cool stuff that I'm not as familiar with as I am with the video game scene, But you know, it gives us a chance to kind of hang out as you know, being fans of each other's, you know, regular video game music shows too.
Right. And you know, like this show, like, even though I started it, it's kind of a community thing. You know, like, I see myself as, you know, one of the hosts. I see you as one of the hosts. I see, you know, people that haven't even been on as hosts, you know, future hosts. And so it's kind of like this collaborative effort to kind of play stuff for you know, people who may not know it, or, you know, fans of the work, and kind of discover stuff together. I think it's going to be a fun ride. And if you want to know more about the show, you can definitely check us out online. We're at impulseproject.info, and Twitter is a really good way to kind of communicate with us. That's at ImpulseCast. And you got anything else?
Yeah, well, you can check me out on my full-time video game music podcast at pixeltunesradio.com, or you could follow my personal Twitter account at Ruiner9. And, you know, we can also follow our video game music podcast at pixeltunesradio on Twitter as well.
Yeah, well, I guess I should say the plugs for my show, too.
Sure.
Yeah, I do.
I'll allow it.
Yeah, I'll allow it. It's Pixelated Audio. It's a video game music podcast, very similar to what Ed's doing. We have a different take than, you know, we both have video game music podcasts, but we have a different take on how we kind of approach it. And both, I think both shows are a lot of fun, and they kind of complement each other in certain ways. There's always, you know, a different spin, and it gives you a little more to listen to. So that's always a good thing. But, you know, the collaborative effort on this show is going to be a lot of fun as well. So keep your eyes and your ears open for future episodes, and check back in a week or so when we release the next one.
Sounds good. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. And actually, that's it.
Got nothing else.
I got nothing else.